The conference call is being recorded. That's good news. And so here we are on a Tuesday night. Can't think of a better way to spend an evening than with all of you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us this evening. Oh, it's an exciting week as we get ready for Thanksgiving, the kickoff of the holiday season, and this is going to be an opportunity for us to spend time with friends and with loved ones, and as a good friend once said, even those that we don't really necessarily want to be around. This is going to be a great opportunity to approach this holiday so differently than perhaps where we come and we see people, and perhaps we've been a little reserved, perhaps we've had our feelings hurt, or we're uncomfortable around somebody in the family, and this year, an opportunity to show up differently, an opportunity to show up practicing intrinsic validation, the heightened level of awareness, agape, differently than we ever have before, showing up in service to those that we're with, knowing that when we do, and their walls come down, we become the beneficiary of productivity, so we'll be able to feel the joy that will come from this experience. I can promise everybody on this phone that when you're driving home, if you're somewhere else, or everyone else has just left and you're sitting down to catch your breath at the end of the Thanksgiving holiday, if you make the conscious choice tonight to be prepared, to listen for doors, to look for what's important, to step into somebody's world, to take down walls of resistance, to create that safe space, you'll have one of your favorite Thanksgiving occasions ever. Now, Conrad, I heard you on the line. You're up there in Canada, and I know that in Canada we're not going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, per se, but this is an opportunity for all of us to be able to consciously step into people's worlds. I want to go somewhere tonight that's quite sensitive. I am not a therapist. I'm a coach. And some of the things that we may discuss tonight may create some issues that could expose a need for some therapeutic intervention. And if so, please, please do so. Coaching occurs when we have processed through those painful moments and we're ready to move on with our life. And we can give you the techniques and tools and principles and practices for moving forward. But there are some very difficult challenges in our lives that require the intervention of a professional therapist. I am not, again, a therapist. I'm a coach. So if we cross into that area where you need some assistance, please, please know that not only is it important that it's, it just is important. Sometimes we can feel uncomfortable or less than because of that kind of need. But there are just some things in life that require someone with that kind of... So let's take a look at this. I want to take us someplace tonight. I was in a coaching session earlier this morning, and it prompted me to go here. I was having the most delightful conversation with an amazing human being who had been through some very difficult challenges. And his assignment for the week was to define what he had left in his sack. What was he still dragging behind him? And we spent time going through those items. Made this comment this morning, and I want to make it to all of you. The single most important moment that we will ever face in terms of intrinsic validation is the moment that we make the decision to own the feelings from our experiences and then use those feelings in the service of another human being. That one shift. Now, I'd like us to go into this one subject for a few moments tonight. We've been talking about intrinsic validation. I still am deeply moved by the experience we had last Tuesday when we had six of our coaches share some of their experiences with intrinsic validation. Some of the emails we received, some of the comments we received, to know that you're having these kinds of experiences in your life. This is so important for us to know. It just thrills us when Og says, I'll tear down the walls of hate and suspicion, which they built around their hearts. In this place, I'll build a bridge so that my love, my agape love, my heightened level of awareness can enter their soul. To know that that's happening so that person will have more courage to do it with the next, and that person with the next, and we can begin to infect the world with agape love. What a thought. To assist us in making this transition, I believe it's very important that we become very conscious of what is in our sack. What is it that we've been dragging around? Now, I don't want to debrief any person on the phone, because these are going to be very private thoughts, but I'm going to do my very best to assist you in debriefing and processing, if you will, some of those moments so that you can own those feelings, carry them in your heart, so that you can hear more clearly, you can step into someone's world more effectively. Here's the truth of the matter. Many of us have had traumatic things occur in our life. Sometimes they are so painful that we have just done our very best to bury them. We want to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. That is something we don't want to be a part of our life. It could be something we've done that's shameful. It could be something that was done to us. It could be something that we were just involved in an economic crisis. Whatever it is, we're dealing and suppressing those feelings. As I mentioned in the audio series, we sometimes can write all those experiences on the proverbial rock and throw it out into the ocean, but the waves wash them back onto the memories of our life. We can't seem to get away from them, so we just keep pushing them down and pushing them down. And I just want you to imagine a giant sack that we just keep cramming stuff into and cramming stuff into. And it's heavier and heavier, and we're dragging it, and we are exhausted. And the invitation tonight, as we go through this process, is to let go of the sack. It's to turn around. So just if you can, where you're sitting, just literally turn around. And imagine that sack in front of you. And now have the courage to empty it. Some things you may not have wanted to look at for a long time. And some of them you may not have really thoroughly processed. I want you to, on a piece of paper, just write this down. What is the single most painful item in that pile? In the dream, I saw silver orbs with sharp spikes. If you were to look at that pile, just sort through it in your mind. Just close your eyes and sort through it. Something that might have happened as a child. Was there a death or a divorce? Was there an abusive situation? As you're growing older, Did you have challenges, for an example, like a weight challenge and kids made fun of you? Were you the one with the skinny one with the glasses and they made fun of you as being two eyes? Did you live in that part of town where people made fun of you because of your economic situation? Did you have a parent or a caretaker that was an alcoholic? Violent or abusive or angry? Did you feel afraid at some point in your life? Have you felt abandoned? Have you felt shame? What is that thing? Where is it? Can you see it? Have you identified it? For most people, if we're saying there's nothing there, we are ignoring our life. Many can have great lives, but there are things that impact our self-esteem, that impact our worth. What are those things? Can you see them? I want you just for a moment, in the privacy of where you're sitting, to pick that item up. Just reach over there and pick it up. And just hold it in your hands. Now, this is where it could get very sensitive, because if this needs intervention, but I'm going to ask you that you seek it. However, if you can do what I'm going to suggest without too much emotional trauma, then consider doing this with me. I want you to go back to the moment, the most painful moment in that experience. Were you huddled in a closet, waiting for a father to pass out or a mother to pass out from their alcoholism so it'd be safe? Were you dealing with shame from young kids and the frustration of feeling like you're just a victim, just awful? Has someone violated a trust at such a level that you just feel awful? Confused, alone.
I am deeper down.
I want you to see that thing. And take just a moment on a piece of paper and write down what it was. And start writing down some of the feelings. Write the words. If it's shame, write shame. If it's loneliness, write loneliness. Sadness, abandonment. Write the feelings down on a piece of paper. Look at them, see them. I want you to feel what you felt back then. Why? Do I want to create a burden for you? Do I want you to feel like you're going to beat yourself up, shame and blame? No, no. I'm working on this alcohol program and with an amazing human being. And he just says, you know, I can't go back. I can take what's happened and make the best I can with it. But I don't want to beat myself up. But I do want to go back and feel what damage I may have caused, what feelings I may have challenged, what was going on. So if it's something that you are creating or something that happened to you, write down those feelings. Because we want to feel them again. There's something about feeling these feelings, truly feeling them, that will awaken our soul. Will awaken and free a piece of us, bring tears to our eyes, make us just overcome with emotion that we can hardly contain the feeling. So devastating, so ugly, so awful. Why are we doing this? We're doing this so that we can be alive, one. You can't be alive suppressing it. And alive, we now take it and hold it in your hand and press those feelings against your heart so that you never forget what that felt like. Why? Because now you're going to walk among the children of men. You're going to walk among those in your family this holiday season. You're going to look into people's eyes and seek to know. You're going to long to understand. You're going to take a big, deep breath now. Just take one with me and just let it out. And let your soul be like a giant down pillow that someone can just lay down in and finally be at peace. Could you be that down pillow? A client told me about a grandfather today. I was so deeply moved. Who, when he was 8, 9, and 10, would just hold him in his lap. And just hold him and just be with him. It was a safe place. A grandfather who loved him with all his heart. Can we be that down pillow? A safe place for someone to land. Someone who is hungry. Someone who is struggling. Can we be that down pillow for them? And can we bring our life experience and listen carefully? Can we pick up on the subtlety, on the frown? Rita shared with us that comment when she was climbing in her seat on the airplane. She asked the lady how she was doing, and she said, well, I'm doing okay. Just, you could feel the energy. Something wasn't right. Remember when Rita said she sat there and said, that was a door. Wow, but I really want to sleep. Well, I started this day, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Is this the person I'm supposed to serve? Wow, I better open my eyes and I better speak. She did. And as she shared with us, this woman had just lost her mother that day. going home to tell her brother, who was mentally challenged, that his caretaker was now dead. This woman who worked three jobs to support them, who used her overtime to buy a piano, that sits in her house and her five children are learning how to play the piano one now. What a great occasion, because Rita created this down bellow for this aching heart to land. It starts with us feeling the feelings from our own experiences. Now, some of you on the phone are more prepared, more ready to go to this experience. This could be a graduation. Feel as much as you can now. You may feel more later, and even more later, and even more later. There's a fullness of feeling, and it's carried in your heart. This is the most important moment, I believe. It is a healing of self-esteem when Dr. Hartman said the objective is to simply be real. We can't be real and genuine and authentic if we're pretending with our feelings. They must be real feelings. We live in a world where things are so superficial, and the word BS in its fullest extent is used so often, and people don't want to get into this space, yet every single one of them is living there in the privacy of their own life. There isn't one among us who, lying in bed at night, facing the ceiling, doesn't face their actions, their behavior, their life, their disappointments, their successes. And there's very few who do not feel alone and lost, especially right now. We are going into a holiday season. Last holiday season we thought was going to be there after September, October, November, December. You remember that in 2008? The stock market was in chaos. People were starting to lose jobs. Credit cards were in trouble, and home equity lines were exhausted. And all of a sudden, we somehow pulled it out. A reasonable, wasn't great, but a reasonable Christmas. And now we've gone almost 12 more months living on spent oxygen, trying to figure out how to make it through. Now, not everybody's in trouble, but a significant percentage of our community and our family members will be. They are going to come to this event, some of them wanting to impress or pretend, feeling shame and fear. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this family gathering on Thanksgiving, there could be a tremendous outpouring of gratitude for what we have, and at the same time, a realness, a genuineness, an authenticness about the family. It might be assisted by you being honest about where you are and not pretending. Showing up, listening, picking up on the subtlety. Stepping into someone's world. How are you really doing? You know, I've been having the most challenging year of my life. This is what you're saying. Almost everyone I know is. Have you escaped this? Giving them permission. Have you escaped this? No, not really. Oh, talk to me. Please talk to me. Having a conversation with family members where family can pull together and become the unit, the support group to assist us through this process is going to require us to show up real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. As Dr. Hartman said, and I've quoted before on this call, this is the most difficult task in our mortal existence. This is a scientist speaking. And it's the highest level of maturity. Could we tonight take that most difficult experience of our life, define it, write down the feelings from it, ask ourselves, how long have I been trying to bury this, ignore this, not deal with this? what has this created for me in terms of internal dialogue about my worth, about my ability, about my belief system, about my boundaries, about my joy I'm finding in my journey, about the gap between where I want to be and where I am. What impact is that experience having on my current moment in life? How often do these feelings generated by this experience show up in my daily actions? What would happen if I made the conscious choice tonight to see it for what it is, embrace it, and then use it in the service of others instead of using it as a crutch for my lack of productivity, as a safety net when I fail, as a trap door when I'm not 100% committed, a window when I want to escape? What would happen if I just let it go and put it in my heart and used it only for the service of another, and I freed myself of dragging it around, that I could stand tall, free from that one thing? Now, if you can do one, you might try a second one, and maybe a third one. Probably no more than five, but try, if there are five, do one, two, three, four, five, before you go to sleep tonight. Have them on a piece of paper. Have the feelings that you're feeling that are related to those moments written on a piece of paper. You'll know you're feeling it. You'll get tingles down your spine. You'll probably get tears in your eyes. Oh, to be alive again. To be feeling again. And then putting those feelings in your heart so that you can be prepared to serve another person. That's the Chicago dream. Knowing that you cannot see somebody else's sack until you have felt your own experiences and put them in your heart. You can't see them while you're dragging. You can only see them when you've owned them. Now you'll hear things differently. You'll see things differently. You'll serve differently. Now, before I go any further this evening, is there anyone who's got a question about this that I could assist? Are there any concerns or questions that we could address?
Dave, this is Conrad.
Hi, Conrad.
I wanted to ask you if somebody goes through a situation like that in their life, will it always show up in the assessment, or could it be missed? Like, would it probably? I would think that it would show up in bar 6 of self-esteem, but and maybe through in different other places as well. But would it necessarily show up, or would it?
Just so you know, Conrad is talking about a measurement. If you've all got your assessment handy, it's called unconditional. It's the last measurement on the right-hand side. When this measurement starts to show up unbalanced, there is a suggestion that there is something of such a depth that has caused such shame, generally because of a personal action. I've done something that is so shameful that I am carrying such guilt that I am focused on what is wrong with me more than anything else. Now, it's fairly rare when that measurement is out of balance more than one or two spaces. So take a look at your assessment. If you don't have it up, pull it up tonight. Take a look at it. It's on the right-hand side of your world, very last measurement, called unconditional. And if it's light green, you're probably okay. If it's teal, you're fine. If it's light green, probably okay. If it's starting to get orange, you're going to want to explore. I'm going to share with you something very private and personal as an example. I was coaching with a beautiful human being a few years ago who had this measurement significantly out of balance. I knew there was something buried deep in her soul that was haunting her. Haunting her. We talked about it initially. It was several weeks into the coaching. A matter of fact, it was, if I recall, almost the last one or two sessions. And we went back to visit it because we had now dealt with so many thought processes, so many challenges. It started to shift and awareness had increased and she was coming alive. And she was beginning to feel those feelings. And what's she holding back? What's causing this challenge? And we began to explore. And I remember the moment that it happened. The moment. And I hesitate to share this. I hope this is okay. This is not a religious belief. It was hers. I want to make that clear. This was her belief system. She, when she was a teenager, had gotten pregnant. And she had chosen to have an abortion. And she had had the abortion, and then she had buried her feelings, and she had gone into a life where she could, where that would not bother her as much. But she was raised in a very conservative Catholic home. So you can imagine the belief system that she was given as a child, as it would relate to that topic. It was interesting when it finally came to the surface. Very emotional time. For her to process through that and begin the process of, in her own world, with her own belief system. Some others may say, well, there's no problem with that. I think abortion's fine. This isn't a question of pro-life or pro-choice. This was her life in her circumstances. For her to face her own belief system and what she truly believed versus what had happened, and to begin the process of forgiving herself and letting that go. And the discussion I still remember, I said, how many people have done something in their life, not just that, but anything, for which they feel shame? She said, oh, a lot of people. And I said, raised hand, you know, all of us, have we not done something? Whatever magnitude it is, something. You can listen to someone, and because of you owning these feelings of the shame that you felt, now you're not going to carry it as a burden anymore, buried deep in your sack. Now you're going to wear it in your heart. You're going to forgive yourself of all those feelings and show up in the service of another person to serve anyone who has done something that has created tremendous shame in their life. You are now that down pillow, that safe place where they can just go, without feeling judged, an unconditional location where they can share their pain without you needing to fix them. They can know that you know where they are and you still love them unconditionally. Oh, what a beautiful gift to give another human being. And I remember, and I've seen this individual since, to know that this gift is still alive in her life. Now, Conrad, you had a question, where can it show up? It can show up in that very deep intrinsic place. And I don't mind telling you all, the phrase that goes with this is that when we wish we weren't born, that's when that starts to show up. It's most common in the first measurement, on the right-hand side, called integrus. Integrus is about intrinsically valuing ourselves. We may just not believe we're valuable. We may not see our own value, period. In the fourth measurement, confident, we may question our ability, especially if we've had an experience where we have failed. If the thing that you've picked up, it has something to do with a mistake that you made, whether you knew better at the time or not. For an example, you may have bought a home that was too expensive and you couldn't afford it, and the mortgage became due and you couldn't pay it, and maybe you've had a foreclosure. Or maybe you've had a business that failed, and if you'd have made a different decision here or here, you might have been able to save it. Maybe not. But anytime those kinds of things show up, we can go to the assessment and see where it's showing up in thought processes that are currently here, such as confident, this fourth measurement on the right-hand side, where we're questioning our own ability, our own skill set, even our own appearance, our own possessions. We are comparing ourselves against everyone else, and most likely seeing their external facade, believing that's true, and judging it against how we feel about ourselves inside. Not what people see, but how we feel inside. And Conrad, thank you for raising this issue, because this is such an important piece. As you're picking up these pieces and you're writing down these feelings of shame or guilt or inadequacy or inability, these are the feelings I've had. Go back to your assessment, especially on the internal world, and listen to these definitions and go, oh my goodness, is it possible that that confidence measurement is out of balance because of my deep-seated thought processes around that event? If I choose to own those feelings, to serve someone else, it will begin to shift this thought process. It'll start to come into balance. The fifth measurement down is called valiant. Quite often, we have the ability to know right from wrong. And that's just not moralistic right from wrong, whether we should invest or not invest, or whether we should have gotten a contract or not, whether we should have been clearer, but maybe we should have stated our position better. All those kinds of, we know those things, but somehow, if valiant is out of balance, there's a good chance that we let somebody else, because they were persuasive, because they were convincing, because they were charismatic, because they looked like they knew what they were talking about. And by that, I keep going to that statement about how someone looks, that's respectful. On the left-hand side of the graph, fourth measurement down, 92% of you have this one orange or red. 92% of you. Because of how someone looked, I made a decision. I did not follow my own gut. And I made a decision based on how they looked, or that they looked like they knew more than I knew. And because I made that decision, I am haunted. Well, look at this and go, wow, what a great thing to know. This thing I picked up off the pile had some thought processes about beating myself up because I knew better. I should not have ever done. I knew better, and I didn't act on what I knew. I didn't trust my own intuition. How many people do you think feel like that? How many people feel like that? Oh, wear that one in your heart. And when you're listening to someone, when you made that decision, was there a little voice in your head saying, don't do this? Yeah, but you did it anyway? Yeah. You've been beating yourself up ever since? Yeah. Wow. That person now knows that you know where they are, and you didn't need to fix them. And you know where they are because you have been there. These measurements that are out of balance in your internal world are some of the great flags that say, when I get to the bottom of how I got here and I choose to own those feelings and I use them to serve somebody else, I'm going to see this come into balance. These are like things jumping off the page, telling me to pay attention. Goal-oriented. The ninth one down. And grateful, the second one down, tied so closely together. 97% of you have those two, orange or red. 97%. If there's somebody on the phone that doesn't, just know you're an anomaly. You're a rare person. Because most of us have a tendency, because of this goal-oriented thought process, to obsessively think about things and to set expectations for how life is supposed to be showing up. And every time it shows up differently, we beat ourselves up. This is not how it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be here. This is not how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be happier. It's supposed to be easier. It is what it is. And all of a sudden, we see that for what it is. We own that feeling of constantly setting ourselves up for disappointment, and we engrave that on our heart. One, we stop doing it. And two, we see it in other people. Some of you building teams and businesses. And you know your team members are fantasizers, many of them. I mean, they're off on houses and cars and what it's going to be like when I'm rich, and then I'm going to be doing this. And you just know that about every 24 to 48 hours, they're in the depths of frustration and overwhelm and anger, and I hate to use the word depression because it's clinical, but that depressive kind of a feeling. You know that you can step into their world and say things like, as you're working with your team members, I'd like to explore today with you any discouragement that you've been feeling. Could we go back in the last 24 hours and explore where you've been with your thoughts? What's the most amount of money you've been imagining yourself making in any given month? What were you going to do with it? Let's detail it. Okay? Let me assist you in focusing on creating it. What happens when you have these expectations and life shows up differently? Oh, man, I just get frustrated. How painful is that? It's awful. Wow, is that impacting your business? It's killing me. Timing's right. Are you open to some ideas? Yeah. And you can share with them how to become an intentional creator instead of a perpetual fantasizer. That's what this process can do for you. You can get in touch with your own past experiences, the things you've been doing or done, that you've been dragging around in pain and wallowing in. Take them, relive them, write them down on a piece of paper so you can see them right in front of you. Compare that to your assessment and go, gosh, is that where that came from? Own it in your heart, grave it, and use it now to serve your team members, your clients, your friends, your coworkers, to step into their world. Now, I want to emphasize this because I've been emphasizing it the last 2 weeks. We want to be very careful. Intrinsic validation is not about interrogation. Some people are too closed to be open to share. I know Og says it'll melt all hearts like the sun is rays soften the coldest clay. Yes, it will in time. But not the first time you attempt the process. Some people just are guarded. Yeah, he says they built that wall around their heart because of hate and the suspicion. They're suspicious. The last time somebody did what you're trying to do, they had something to sell them. They wanted to manipulate them, coerce them, take advantage of them. It may take a little while for them to trust that you truly care. But I can promise you that once that feeling comes, there's not a human being alive who won't open up. If it's a safe place, be the safe place. Conrad, you got me on a soapbox, but thank you. That's tying your assessment back into the process. Conrad, did you have anything more you wanted to say about
that? Yeah. I'm on the road, so I couldn't quite hear you there. What did you say?
I said, is there anything else that you would like me to address on that?
No, that's good. Thanks.
You
did a great job.
Thank you. Anyone else have a question, a concern, or something you'd like me to address on this topic so far? Anybody feeling overwhelmed? Does this sound like too much work?
Without work, we don't advance.
Without work, we don't advance. Well said. It's a little uncomfortable. It's a great sign because you're growing. Here we are in this space. And know this. I've asked this question before. When's the last time someone cared enough about you to really listen to you without needing to fix you? And almost everyone goes, they can't think of someone. Few people can, but very, very few. We become that person when we simply care enough to listen, hear a door, and say, tell me more about that, or share with me what you're thinking. know that the rest of this process will come in time. You'll get better at feeling your past experiences. You'll get better at engraving them in your heart. You'll get better at creating that safe place. And the safer the place, the quicker people open up. But the instant you say, tell me more about that, you are in rarefied territory. You have crossed a good line to a place where very, very few people go, because very few people are focused on another person enough to really want to know. How you doing? I'm doing crappy. They don't respond. They don't really want to know. It's just niceties. Well, you're not engaged in niceties. You're engaged in genuine caring. How you doing? Tough day. Ooh, tell me more about that. Now, last piece I want to mention tonight. As you begin intrinsic validation, creating this safe place, I want you to become ever increasingly aware of the tone of your voice, the softness with which you may speak, the speed with which you may speak. Some may say, well, this is just who I am. I'm being me. No. Why don't you be aware? Why don't we be aware? Being aware is knowing what someone else may need and showing up to serve them. You're not being disloyal to yourself. You're actually in a heightened level of awareness. You're showing up to serve. And what serves? Does a harsh tone serve? Does an opinionated statement serve? Does a harsh voice serve? Maybe not. Now, we all have voice tones, but I want you to practice this phrase. You remember this from the recording? Well, tell me more about that. Well, tell me more about that. As if you're practicing a line for a play, but you're not a character, and this isn't acting. You want to hear until something resonates with your soul, that someone can feel that you mean your words. So practice. Look in the mirror. You're going to go, this is a bunch of crap. You're going to be tempted to. I'm not saying you will, but you may be tempted to. No, it's not. Just hear those thought processes that don't want you to get to this depth in life. They don't want you to spend time here. They want you to be superficial, cold, and closed. Oh, my goodness. Just know those thought processes are all over your assessment. Go take a look at them and ask yourself, is this served in my relationships? It's when we can sit down at the table and look over at our spouse, as one coaching client did a few weeks ago, and see him who had lost a job and was having a hard time finding a new one, was making some money consulting, but was really having some challenges. And feeling from her conversation, and the word she said was, as she set down her fork and knife, have I ever told you how much faith I have in you? I think I've shared that story with you before. Oh. Especially with those of you who have committed relationships, this holiday season, focus on how you can be warm and tender and engaging and kind and forgiving, available. Practice sitting, putting your arm, do things that might make you terribly uncomfortable, that you've had thought processes telling you are corny or goofy, and warm up and put your arm on someone's shoulder, a spouse or a committed companion or a child or a grandchild. How are you doing? Tell me what's going on. What's your favorite subject in school? Any girlfriends? Ooh, what do you like best about her? What could you do to show up warm and open and friendly, more so than ever before? So this holiday season, start by owning your own experiences. Take them tonight, 3 or 4 or 5 of them. Go back and start reliving them in your heart and mind. Write down the feelings that are associated. Then think how many people are having experiences like this or similar to this. Oh, there's thousands of them. Oh, my goodness. I am so grateful I have had this experience. I would not want to relive it. But I'm so grateful I know what this feels like because I can connect better with people who are in this position because I know what it feels like. I'll know the questions to ask. Nobody else will know to ask. Grave it on my heart. And now start paying attention. Find out what's important to them. Verbalize it. Listen for doors. And do that one act to separate you from everyone else. Tell me more about that. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you this evening. I just wish everyone on this call the very best holiday season. We'll be back with you next Tuesday evening. For those of you who are in the U.S. who are celebrating Thanksgiving, have a great experience. All of you have a great week. I want to open this up. If anybody's got any comments or thoughts or experiences, last week as you listened to those individuals share, did anybody on the phone go, oh, I wish I had a chance to share? We're going to give everybody an opportunity. I'll just pause for a moment. If there's no one that wants to share, we're going to wrap up this call for tonight and send you on your way practicing intrinsic validation. At a new level, owning your life, feeling again, being alive. Is there anyone like to share an experience they've had with intrinsic validation?
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
This is Therese.
Hi, Therese.
How are you?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. I've missed you since yesterday.
Well, I'm a little nervous. You gave me the power sessions to do.
Yes.
Well, so I was doing, I got up for my 5 a.m. run, and I had a little time. And so one of them came up about Iris, who you've heard her name before, mm-hmm. Iris and this other gal, Madeline. And today, when we were at gymnastics, I was spending time with them, and we were just talking about the holiday and pregnancies, and she started sharing about how when she was pregnant, with each pregnancy, she experienced postpartum depression. I had that same experience in my second pregnancy. And so I had this thought, oh, I should share with her that I had it. But what happened is I was reminded to just sit and ask another question. And when I did, the other friend, Madeline, joined in and shared on how she was trying to talk herself off a cliff, which... red flags went up, and I said, well, can you share what that cliff is? What does it look like? Where are you at? And so she had started sharing on the struggles that she and her husband are having right now, and she's gone back to work, and how they have 3 kids, and, just all the pressures that we're experiencing and the economics that we're in. And, but what was so wonderful is all of the stuff that I had experienced in that same situation of wanting to just end it, I could just ask her the questions, and did it feel like your head, did you ever feel like your head was in a vise and it was going to explode, or you just wanted to walk away and never, turn around and leave it all? And all at the end of the conversation, she was completely she was peaceful, she was laughing, and she was like, oh, thank God I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty amazing at gymnastics.
Now take us to driving home after that event. How are you feeling?
Well, it was almost an out-of-body experience because in the moment I forgot where I was, and I was just with her. And when I was walking out with the girls, and I gave her a hug and said Happy Thanksgiving, and I went to pick up Delph, I was just so filled with gratitude. And thankful that I didn't jump into, I know how that is, I know, you know, my old habitual sentences, but that I could just hold the space for her.
Did you want to hug Delph and say, let's keep our problems?
Well, it was, yeah, and when he came in the car, he's like, wow, you must have had a really good day, without me even saying anything.
Ooh, what did he see? What did he feel?
He's like, you feel like you're on cloud nine. And I'm like, I just had an unbelievable day of gratitude. And the funny thing is, that was the last thing I told them when we were pulling into in front of our house, was this piece, because the day was just filled with, it just kind of like became a crescendo. But what was interesting is the whole day, their two names kept popping into my head, and so I was like, you know, was taking little pieces, and when I had time without the kids, I'm like, okay, I'll get quiet and ask how I can serve. And all I kept hearing was, just be there, just be available.
You're gonna make me cry, Therese. They felt blessed. You felt blessed. You got that reserve of cooperation and productivity. What impact did it have on your two daughters?
They were bouncing off the walls. But not bouncing off the walls out of control, bouncing off the walls, just really joyful. Today is actually Delph's birthday. And so we came home to have dinner, and they had made stuff, and they had a crown on them, and they were just so into Dad's the King, happy birthday. It was just a beautiful dinner.
Way to be. Way to be. So if you were to look back at that whole thing and share with us, what would be your one or two sentence of recommendation to all of us based on what you've experienced?
To be ready at any moment. It's there. It's in the whisper.
Rita said last week, it's in the silence, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people are just dying for it. And this morning on the run, you started out talking about the intuition and being valiant and trusting your own intuition.
Yeah.
And one of my running mates has a six-year-old little girl, and her gymnastics coach, there's some potential abuse going on. And so the whole conversation on our run was about intuition and trusting. It was a pretty powerful day.
Wow. Way to be, and thank you for sharing. So we're all now going to go out into our holiday. I love the sequence you shared with us, Therese, of starting this morning And you mentioned power sessions. We're going to have a chance to spend some more time on this call. I'll share with you a little bit about the power session. You can listen to it in connecting with, completing tasks. And get on a power session where you start your day with this kind of intention. Oh, Teresa, this is so fun to hear. You start with this kind of intention. And what picking times in the day when I'm going to be fully present. You're on your run talking about being intuitive and present. You're dealing with these moments. You're getting somebody's, when you're saying, what can I create? How can I create? How can I serve? These two names keep popping into your head, that inspiration you're seeking. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. These two names keep coming. What do I do? Just be. Just be there for them. And you showed up, and in the moments you're tempted to tell your story, you don't. And how many of us on this call been tempted to tell our story, we just can't help it. We just can't help it. So cool. It's such a fun story. Instead, or ours was horrible too, as in your case with postpartum blues, and start asking the questions. Because if we know how someone feels, we know the questions to ask. If we don't know the question, we don't yet know. Then we say, well, tell me more. Share with me. Help me understand that a little better. Till the question just flows out of our experience, as it did with yours, Therese. Thank you so very much. What an inspiring day. Imagine living this way every day, in purpose or on purpose, in intention, to bless the lives of another person, clearly in partnership with a power greater than ourselves that's giving us inspiration, having these joyful, joyful, joyful moments. And knowing that business, not just friendship and discussions at a gymnastics class or whatever, but also in business talking to our customers, our prospects, our clients, the same way, with this kind of concern, and being there to truly serve them at that level. Because this is where people make decisions, to major decisions, life-changing decisions, to buy things that are expensive or could be time-consuming. This is where they make them, in this space. Have the courage to go here. And thank you, Therese, for sharing your testimonial of how this works when you actually apply it. Now, we're ready to close, but I just want to open this one last time. If there's anyone else that wants to share, we don't want to rob anyone of that opportunity. If you're just going, I really want to, oh, well, let's put the pressure back on. Is there anybody else that wants to say something before we wrap up our session tonight? We've been served, and Therese, you have taught us well. And thank you for your question, Conrad, so we can tie our assessment back into these experiences, begin to understand why we may have been thinking the way we're thinking, and as we begin to own these feelings and use them to serve others, it'll start to shift our own thinking from being a victim, being impacted by it, to impacting somebody else's life with our experience. Oh, what a beautiful shift in our lives. And when we do that, unspeakable joy awaits. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a glorious holiday, and we'll see you or talk to you and be with you next Tuesday evening. Good night, everyone.
Thanks so much, Dave, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving, you people.
Thank you.